You are listening to Coffee Before Pants. Greetings, salutations, and welcome to another episode of Coffee Before Pants, the podcast for readers, writers, poets, and anyone else who cares to listen. It looks like it's finally spring here in Wisconsin, and I have to say it's been a long winter. Spring and fall are my favorite times of the year. I feel more creative, inspired to write, inspired to create. Winter is fine for hibernating inside with all the books you want to read. Not that I let warmer weather stop me from reading. However, when it's warmer, I do tend to get out more despite my hermit-like tendencies. A cafe or a library offer a change in scenery, which is beneficial to writing, reading, thinking in general. Despite going out into the world, I still practice hermit time no matter where I go or if I stay home. It's really just a state of mind more than a state of physicality. If I do venture out, I always bring headphones. I think you've known that from the episode before last. That definitely improves hermit time for wherever you go. For those who, like me, who are easily distracted when amongst the noise and clamor, the idea of hermit time is to achieve a zen-like state, being able to focus on your activity, like the aforementioned reading, where what could be a distraction is paid no mind. And like I said, headphones always help. On this episode, I want to focus on a writer I have most certainly mentioned several times before, although denied any notoriety or recognition while he was still alive. He has, over the last 80 or so years, become a great influence on literature and film. Horror literature, specifically horror films. He has inspired many writers, artists, and filmmakers. You may not have even heard of him or read of any of his fiction, but I'm sure you have encountered books or movies that were inspired by him. Yes, I am talking about H.P. Lovecraft. He is one of my favorite writers of the horror genre. In fact, I am in the process of reading his complete fiction. And trust me, that's no small feat. He was one very prolific writer, especially given his short time on Earth. But before we go any further, it is, as usual, time for Coffee with Culture, a rundown of this week's history of literature, film, and music, and sometimes TV. May 12th, 1925, Imagist poet Amy Lowell died of a cerebral hemorrhage in her hometown of Brookline, Massachusetts. Lowell was a founding member of the Imagist movement and was beloved by fans until her death. After her death, Lowell was posthumously awarded the Pulitzer Prize for Poetry. May 12th, 1937, the late great George Carlin was born on this day in New York City. Carlin was an American stand-up comedian, actor, author, and social critic. Regarded as one of the most important and influential stand-up comedians of all time, he was dubbed the Dean of Counterculture Comedians. He was known for his dark comedy and reflections on politics, the English language, psychology, religion, and many taboo subjects. May 12, 1963, Bob Dylan walks out of the Ed Sullivan Show over a dispute about his song choice. Dylan had planned on singing Talking John Birch Paranoid Blues, but Sullivan and producers were uncomfortable with this choice due to repercussions from the John Birch Society. Dylan, even though it was early in his career, stood his ground and walked away. May 12, 1994, Pulp Fiction, directed by Quentin Tarantino, starring John Travolta, Uma Thurman, Bruce Willis, and Samuel L. Jackson, premieres at the Cannes Film Festival. May 13, 1907, novelist and short story writer Daphne du Maurier was born in Cornwall, England. Du Maurier is best remembered for her novels Rebecca and Jamaica Inn, as well as her short story The Birds, which of course was made into a film in 1963 by Alfred Hitchcock. I would also be remiss in not mentioning the fact that she wrote the book Don't Look Now, which was turned into a terrifying film starring Donald Sutherland and Julie Christie. If you haven't seen it, don't watch it too late at night. May 14th, 1925, Virginia Woolf's novel Mrs. Dalloway was published in both England and America. The story follows Clarissa Dalloway as she plans a party, all the while battling several inner demons. The novel was included on Time magazine's 100 Best English Novels since 1923. May 14, 1938, The Adventures of Robin Hood, directed by Michael Curtiz and William Cayley, premieres. The Adventures of Robin Hood is a 1938 American Technicolor epic swashbuckler film from Warner Brothers Pictures. It was produced by Hal Wallace and Henry Blank and stars Errol Flynn, Olivia de Havilland, Basil Rathbone, Claude Rains, Patrick Knowles, Eugene Pellett, and Alan Hale. That's Alan Hale Sr. That's not the skipper from Gilligan's Island. That's his dad. The film is particularly noted for its Academy Award-winning score by Eric Wolfgang Korngold. March 15th, that's today, March 15th, 1940, the film Grapes of Wrath, directed by John Ford, was released on this date. Based on the groundbreaking novel by John Steinbeck, it starred Henry Fonda, Jane Darwell, John Carradine, Doris Bowden, and John Quaylen. John Steinbeck loved the movie and said that Henry Fonda, as Tom Joad, made him believe my own words, quote, director John Ford banned all makeup and perfume from the set on the grounds that it was not in keeping with the tone of the picture. May 15th, 1958, the film Gigi, based on the story by Colette, directed by Vincent Minnelli and starring Leslie Caron and Maurice Chevalier, premieres in New York City. It won the Academy Award in 1959 for Best Picture. May 16, 1836, American author Edgar Allan Poe married his 13-year-old cousin, Virginia Clemm. Virginia contracted tuberculosis when she was 18 and died at the age of 24. Critics speculate that many of Poe's works, especially The Raven and Annabel Lee, were inspired by his late wife. May 17, 1824, John Murray, Thomas Moore, and other friends of author Lord Byron participated in the burning of all of the author's diaries. Thomas Moore had been entrusted with Lord Byron's personal manuscripts for publication after his death. However, Byron's scandalous behavior during his life abroad and in Greece denied him burial at Westminster Abbey. Byron's publisher, John Murray, and the other men in his office decided to take drastic measures. The men burned two volumes of personal correspondence and diary entries, an act which has been called, quote, one of the worst literary crimes ever committed, end quote. May 18, 1897, Irish author Bram Stoker published his novel Dracula. When the novel was published in America in 1899, it came to light that Bram Stoker did not comply with the portions of the American copyright law. Therefore, the novel fell to public domain, leading to many replications since then. Also May 18th, 1897, Paul Dukas's symphonic scherzo, The Sorcerer's Apprentice, used in the Disney film Fantasia, premieres. It is based on a poem by Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. And that wraps up this week's Coffee with Culture, the week of history and literature and film and sometimes TV. Now on to our main subject of our episode, H.P. Lovecraft and his influence on modern horror fiction. Howard Phillips Lovecraft was an American writer of weird science and science fantasy and horror fiction. He is known for his creation of the Cthulhu mythos. Born in Providence, Rhode Island, Lovecraft spent most of his life in New England. After his father's institutionalization in 1893, he lived affluently until his family's wealth dissipated after the death of his grandfather. Lovecraft then lived with his mother in reduced financial security until her institutionalization in 1919. He began to write essays for the United Amateur Press Association, and in 1913 wrote a critical letter to a pulp magazine that ultimately led to his involvement in Pulp Fiction. He became active in the speculative fiction community and was published in several pulp magazines. Lovecraft moved to New York City, marrying Sonia Green in 1924, and later became the center of a wider group of authors known as the Lovecraft Circle. They introduced him to Weird Tales, which became his most prominent publisher. Lovecraft's time in New York took a toll on his mental state and financial conditions. He returned to Providence in 1926 and produced some of his most popular works, including The Call of Cthulhu, At the Mountains of Madness, The Shadow Over Innsmouth, and The Shadow Out of Time. He remained active as a writer for 11 years until his death from intestinal cancer at the age of 46. Lovecraft's literary corpus is rooted in cosmicism, which was simultaneously his personal philosophy and main theme of his fiction. Cosmicism posits that humanity is an insignificant part of the cosmos and could be swept away at any moment. He incorporated fantasy and science fiction elements into his stories, representing the perceived fragility of anthropocentrism. This was tied to his ambivalent views on knowledge. His works were largely set in fictionalized version of New England. Civilizational decline also plays a major role in his works, as he believed that the West was in decline during his lifetime. Lovecraft's early political views were conservative and traditionalist. Additionally, he held a number of racist views for much of his adult life. Following the Great Depression, Lovecraft's political views became more socialist, while still remaining elitist and aristocratic. Throughout his adult life, Lovecraft was never able to support himself from his earnings as an author and editor. He was virtually unknown during his lifetime and was almost exclusively published in pulp magazines before his death. A scholarly revival of Lovecraft's work began in the 1970s, and he is now regarded as one of the most significant 20th century authors of supernatural horror fiction. Many direct adaptations and spiritual successors followed. Works inspired by Lovecraft, adaptations, or original works began to form the basis of the Cthulhu mythos, which utilizes Lovecraft characters, settings, and themes. Lovecraft and other writers of weird fiction brought horror into more modern times and settings. Prior to this, most horror was gothic, like Dracula, Frankenstein, Carmilla by Sheridan Le Fanu, with its castles and foreboding landscapes. Lovecraft and his contemporaries set their stories in early 20th century, contemporary to when they were alive. That being said, Lovecraft's stories did display some influence from folk horror, gothic horror, that brought it to his time. As I mentioned before, Lovecraft would have never imagined this post-mortem popularity with readers and the influence he had over later writers. His fiction was, in all likelihood, hard to accept by many general readers. His writing could be wordy and dry, to be honest. Still, his influence on many writers and other creators cannot be denied. Horror author Stephen King cites Lovecraft as a major influence on his own work. The short story Jerusalem's Lot, a prequel of sorts to King's second novel Salem's Lot, was definitely an homage to Lovecraft. King's story The Mist, with its creatures from another dimension not usually seen by mortals, was also heavily influenced by Lovecraft. King himself has said that even Randall Flagg, the antagonist from The Stand, and Pennywise from It, were based on and inspired by Lovecraft's Cthulhu mythos. I would venture to say that the Cthulhu mythos is an inspiration for King's Dark Tower universe. Author Neil Gaiman, another one of my favorites, also cites Lovecraft as a considerable influence on his own work. Gaiman is quoted saying, "The interesting thing is in Lovecraft, people don't do the wrong thing in the way that you normally do in horror fiction. In horror fiction, you do the wrong thing. You go into the shop, you buy that cat-headed object you probably shouldn't have, or whatever, and everything goes bad. In Lovecraft, you simply get a room in a wrong place, move to the wrong town, read the wrong story, you're just screwed. Gaiman wrote several short stories based on Lovecraft's work, as well as interviewed about Lovecraft's influence in the documentary The Eldritch Influence, The Life, Vision, and Phenomenon of H.P. Lovecraft, which is available on DVD. I checked. I have to buy it. I must have it. Gaiman's Lovecraft-inspired short fictions include Only the End of the World Again, Thogoth's Old Peculiar, both of which are included in Gaiman's short story collection, Smoke and Mirrors. Brian Lumley was an incredibly prolific English author of horror fiction. He came to prominence in the 1970s, writing in the Cthulhu mythos created by Lovecraft, but featuring the new character Titus Crow. Lumley also created new elder gods inspired by Lovecraft's mythos. He later went on to greater fame in the 80s with the best-selling Necroscope series, initially centered on character Harry Keough, who can communicate with the spirits of the dead. And now he is another author added to the onerous and ever-growing-to-be-read list of mine. It never ends. I also have to mention Colin Wilson. Colin Wilson was a British philosopher and author. Not many people have heard of Colin Wilson. Readers of H.P. Lovecraft are more than just slightly familiar with the book The Necronomicon, written by, quote, the mad Arab Abdul Al-Hazred, end quote. In my years of working at different bookstores, there were often people who came searching for this book. And yes, there is a book titled Necronomicon. One will occasionally run across this title, paperback. And sure enough, it shows the author as being good old Abdul. I hope I don't ruin anybody's day by saying this, but the book you might find in a secondhand bookstore is not the actual Necronomicon. That's because it never really existed. The book that one would find was written by none other than Colin Wilson as a hoax. The Necronomicon, before Colin Wilson came along, was a product of Lovecraft's wild imagination. In case you were wondering if you have heard of Colin Wilson, he was also the author of The Space Vampires, the basis of Tobe Hooper's abysmal 1985 film Life Force. There are also filmmakers that have been inspired by Lovecraft. In the 60s and 70s, several films were very loosely based on Lovecraft's writing, a few of them produced by none other than the recently departed Roger Corman. The Dunwich Horror, starring a very young Dean Stockwell and Sandra Dee. Die Monster Die, starring Boris Karloff and Nick Adams, based on Lovecraft's The Color Out of Space. And then there was The Shuttered Room with Gig Young and Carol Lindley. Corman also produced The Haunted Palace, which was presented as a Edgar Allan Poe story, but it is quite loosely, again, quite loosely, based on Lovecraft's novella, The Case of Charles Dexter Ward, and the short story, The Shadow Over Innsmouth. A more contemporary director, Guillermo del Toro, is also obviously inspired by H.P. Lovecraft. Now, when most people think of John Carpenter and Lovecraft's influence on him, they usually go to In the Mouth of Madness with Sam Neill. And they're not wrong. I would say, though, although the basic story is based on John W. Campbell's short story, Who Goes There?, John Carpenter's 1982 masterpiece, yes, masterpiece, The Thing, is basically a Lovecraft movie, no less than that of Sam Raimi's The Evil Dead. And those are who are old enough to remember Rod Serling's TV series, The Night Gallery. There were a few episodes that featured adaptations of Lovecraft stories, namely Pickman's Model and Cool Air. I will have you know that Pickman's Model, the episode, and the story gave me at least a few weeks of nightmares. I don't admit that very often. I've been watching horror films and monster movies since I was at least 4 or 5 years old. But it was my first step toward being a big fan of H.P. Lovecraft. Finally, I have to say this. Lovecraft's detractors seem to focus less on his writing, which, yes, can be verbose, and more on his personal and political prejudices. Yes, H.P. Lovecraft was racist, anti-Semitic, and definitely xenophobic. And yes, it does come through, albeit vaguely, in his writing. That does not deny or negate his talent or imagination. And oh man, he was prolific. I recommend Lovecraft to be part of your to-be-read list if you like horror and like getting the shit scared out of you. His books are not hard to find at all. One of the reasons for this, sadly enough, is, as we mentioned about Bram Stoker, is that Lovecraft's fiction fell into the public domain quite some time ago. He's everywhere. You can find several editions of H.P. Lovecraft's complete fiction, both in print and in Kindle book. As far as the Kindle books go, read the reviews. I'll warn you. I've seen some reviews that state the books are not as complete as they say. That's the drawback of a book being in the public domain. Anyone can publish it. I hope you have enjoyed this episode of Coffee Before Pants. If you did, I would love to hear from you with either a like or a comment. I don't know if you are aware, but Coffee Before Pants is available to listen to just about everywhere you can find podcasts, even YouTube, although I admit it's not much to look at. Although not Apple, I'm not sure what their deal is. Before we go, I want to end with a poem of the week. I discovered this poem in Leonard Woolf's Book of Terror. It's a great collection of short stories, horror stories. And this week, I felt it was necessary to find a poem that is apropos of subject matter. This one is by Helen Adams, and it's titled, I Love My Love. I love my love. There was a man who married a maid. She laughed as he led her home. The living fleece of her long bright hair she combed with a golden comb. He led her home through his barley fields where the saffron poppies grew. He combed and whispered, I love my love, her voice like a plaintive coo. Aha, her voice like a plaintive coo. He lived alone with his chosen bride. At first their life was sweet. Sweet was the touch of her playful hair binding his hands and feet. When first she murmured adoring words, her words did not appall. I love my love with capital A. To my love, I give my all. Aha, to my love, I give my all. She circled him with the secret web she wove as her strong hair grew. Like a golden spider, she wove and sang, my love is tender and true. She combed her hair with a golden comb and shackled him to a tree. She shackled him close to the tree of life. My love, I'll never set free. No, no, my love, I'll never set free. Whenever he broke her golden bonds, he was held with bonds of gold. Oh, cannot a man escape from love, from love's hot smothering hold? He roared with fury, he broke her bonds, he ran in the light of the sun. Her soft hair rippled and trapped his feet as fast as his feet could run. Aha, as fast as his feet could run. He dug a grave, he dug it wide, he strangled her in her sleep. He strangled his love with a strand of hair, and then he buried her deep. He buried her deep when the sun was hid by a purple thundercloud. Her helpless hair sprawled over the corpse in a pale, resplendent shroud. Aha, a pale, resplendent shroud. Morning and night, a thunder rain, and then it came to pass that the hair sprang up through the earth of the grave, and it grew like golden grass. It grew and glittered along her grave, alive in the light of the sun. Every hair had a plaintive voice, the voice of his lovely one. I love my love with a capital T. My love is tender and true. I'll love my love in the barley fields when the thundercloud is blue. My body crumbles beneath the ground, but the hairs of my head will grow. I'll love my love with the hairs of my head. I'll never, never let go. Aha, I'll never, never let go. The hair sang soft, the hair sang high, singing of loves that drown. Till he took his scythe by the light of the moon, and he scythed that singing hair down. Every hair laughed, a lilting laugh, and shrilled as his scythe swept through. I love my love with a capital T. My love is tender and true. Aha, tender, tender, and true. All through the night he wept and prayed, but before the first bird woke, around the house and the barley fields blew the hair like billowing smoke. Her hair blew over the barley fields where the soft, slothful poppies gape. All day long its voices cooed, my love can never escape. No, no, my love can never escape. Be still, you devilish hair, glide back to the grave and sleep. Glide back to the grave and wrap her bones down where I buried her deep. I am the man who's escaped from love, though love was my fate and doom. Can no man ever escape from love who breaks from a woman's womb? Over his house, when the sun stood high, her hair was a dazzling storm, rolling, lashing o'er walls and roof, heavy and soft and warm. It thumped on the roof, it hissed and glowed over every window pane. The smell of the hair was in the house, it smelled like a lion's mane. Ha ha, it smelled like a lion's mane. Three times round the bed of their love, and his heart lurched with despair. And through the keyhole, Elvis Bright came creeping a single hair. Softly, softly, it stroked his lips, on his eyelids traced a sign. I love my love with a capital Z, mark him zero in mine. Ha ha, I'll mark him zero in mine. The hair rushed in, he struggled and tore, but wherever he tore a tress, I love my love with a capital Z, sang the hair of the sorceress. It swarmed upon him, it swaddled him fast, it muffled his every groan. Like a golden monster, it seized his flesh, and then it sought the bone. Aha! It sought the bone. It smothered his flesh and sought the bones until his bones were bare. There was no sound but the joyful hiss of the sweet, insatiable hair. I love my love as it laughed, as it ran back to the grave, its home. Then the living fleece of her long, bright hair she combed with a golden comb. Thank you all for listening tonight. This has been the 23rd episode of Coffee Before Pants. I promise I'll stop counting them after 50. If you like what you heard, please let me know, either by, like I said, comment or a like button. And I hope you have a good day, a good week, and I hope you find some good books to read.
Tea. I love the jabber jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the jabber and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
Boy.
I love jabber sweet and hot. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pot. Shoot me the pot and I'll pour me a shot. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
Oh. You have been listening to Coffee Before Pants, a production of The Book Is Always Better Enterprises.